First Timothy chapter 3, verses 15. Somebody should drop the NLT version. Another could also have us have the KJV. Okay. So, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of so that if I'm delayed, you will know how people must conduct themselves in the house of the Lord. This is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and foundation of truth. So Paul is writing a letter to Timothy. And Timothy is that young boy who's been made a bishop of our church, an overseer. And he's going to tell Timothy that there is a way that he has to behave himself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. So Paul is desiring to speak these things to Timothy personally, knowing that he might not be able to come soon. So he says it in the letter, how you ought to conduct yourself in the, you know, believers actually might not have been taught that there is a right conduct to being in the house of the Lord, which is his church. So Paul's purpose for writing was to give Timothy as a leader practical information, also just as he was supposed to know how to conduct himself, but it's to also give practical information to Timothy also on how to run things in the Ephesian church. Remember, Timothy was left at Ephesus, you know, and then Titus was left at Crete. So there is a church, right? God is the architect. God is the builder. He lives there. He provides for it, right? Now, when I say the church, the word church there is ecclesia. It means a called out people. So I'm not necessarily making reference, right, to the building. No, so Paul is more specific about conduct when we gather. Do you see that? So Paul is more specific about conduct when we gather. Now, I'm going to take some time to speak on a few things that communicate our honor in that gathering that we seem to have, so that in our meetings, we could look out for conduct during the church or during the meeting or during the gathering. So it's the word church. So he's saying, if I stay longer, I want you to know how you ought to behave thyself. There's a way you ought to behave in the church. When we gather, there's a way you ought to behave, right? There's a way you ought to behave. Then he calls the church the pillar and ground of truth. The pillar and ground of truth there means the foundation of the church is truth. So where we come to teach God's word in truth, there is a way you ought to carry yourself around. So, you know, we can't just do anything. They allow us to do what we want to do in church, right? That is why, you see, we cannot have certain things in the world in the church, because there's a way we ought to conduct ourselves. Allow us. Today is what do you call it? I don't have a problem with this. Bless their darling hearts. I don't have a problem with it. But I'm just using that because I'm going to teach you, because we're not going to allow that in our church. For example, say JC Sunday. See how people are dressed like footballers. They're dressed like this. Well, this. So, ooh, mercy, mercy, ooh, mercy. No, that is the pillar and ground of truth. When you come into the church, we teach you what you ought to do. You don't bring what you want to into the church. There's a way that the master of that church, the builder of that church, which is the gathering, he wants the church to function. You say, show your new shoe Sunday. I don't have a problem with that. No, there is a way you ought to. See, let's not have cultures, you know, brought into the church. Let's rather allow the church's culture affect the world and what the world has to be. And if you don't do it like that, they will not come. Right? You can get that fun at the football field. You can get that fun in your TV room. You can get that fun at your FIFA game spots. But when you come in with that fan into the church, then you see someone, oh, we are also wearing Messi. Oh, hey, Charlie, you don't like Messi. Oh. No, we are not there for that reason. There is a way you ought to go about the gathering. And remember, Jesus Christ becomes the author, the builder, the architect of how that gathering should go. So I'm not somebody who is criticizing. I'm only teaching what we have to know. So how you ought to, the house of God, how you ought to. You see, when you go, I was writing something today just shortly. And when you go to the asylum, I mean, you expect that there are some skills you see in human beings around. You see that? You expect some skills. When you go to the asylum, you say there are skills, a lot of skills there. Yeah. You also, when you go to the beer parlor, you also expect some kind of skill. You see, that's most how they will conduct themselves. You say you meet a man who is boozed. He barely can even stand. That's what you expect there. When you come to the stadium, you're most likely going to see loud shouts, people screaming, excited. Go! Is what you're probably going to hear. When you come into the church, there mustn't be that misplaced purpose of why the church gathers. It doesn't have to be misplaced. You don't have to make the church feel like we want another stadium. We want another beer parlor. We want a cinema. When you go to the cinema, you watch movies. You enjoy yourself. You see one movie. You don't come to the church and say, and this church, they don't show movie. No, when you want movie, you go to the cinema. When you want Messi and Ronaldo, you go to the cinema. When you want Davido style and D'Banj style and Michael Jackson style, you go to the concert. Now, when you come into the church, there is a conduct for the church. Let's not have misplaced priorities on why gatherings are set. In fact, if you are very smart, you will know that gatherings are set because of specific reasons. How that offers to behave thyself in the house of God. Today the worship, we didn't feel the worship. Well, we were not singing to you. That's something you should know. We all together, as one people, are worshiping the Lord in our songs. So it's not to you. So, don't dance. They don't allow us to dance, cry. No. How thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the foundation which is the pillar and ground of truth. So don't be mistaken. Right? In fact, when you go to a church and you feel like it's a stadium, like it's a stadium, no, don't be happy. Because what that would mean is that we do not know how we ought to. So in the church, lift up your hands is a culture of the church. He tells us, I would that all men lift up holy hands without wrath is a culture of the church. When you come into the church, saying amen is a culture of the church. When you come into the church, rejoicing, twirling around, singing, laughing in reckless abandon, is a culture of the church. You don't bring, we want Jesse Sunday, Suya night, kebab Sunday morning, pie and whatever. So today we just came to chill out. Pastor, today we don't want the word of God. We want comedy. So pastor, please bring basket mouth. You know, let him come and make us laugh. No, when you want basket mouth, you go to a comedy center. When you want suya night or kebab, whatever, abochi in front of your house, meet him there. You want, you want to chill. It's like, pastor, I want to chill. Find somebody who is around and do that. When you come to church, there is a way that I oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the ground and the pillar of truth. In 1 Corinthians 14:26, he says, how is it then, brethren, when ye come together? Then he says, let all things be done unto edifying. To edifying there is to the building up of whatever culture, virtue, knowledge that we know of. So, how is it, brethren, when ye come together, right? Then he says that the latter, let all things be done unto edifying. O kodomeo. You are going to be building up in the faith. It means when we come to church, there must be edification in the things that Christ wants us to grow into. So we understand the word. We are full of the Spirit. We can flow. We know what a service looks like. And we put ourselves in that position. No. So I'm going to be talking to you on some very important things that we must take into consideration when we gather. Is that okay? So, how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Number one, arrive on time for church services or meetings. Right? Arrive on time. Arrive on time. If you have to make pre-plannings before the previous night, the previous meeting, whatever, make sure that things are well done and then arrive on time. Some of you would dare not even go into cinemas 30 minutes after your time because you value the money you've paid into the cinema hall. Oh, the cinema is at 4. Okay, okay. 3:35, 3:40, you are already there. 4, you are at the door, then you enter because you're going to watch a movie. Now you're going to meet God Himself. Right? So, arrive on time. Learn to do that. Don't be somebody that chooses to do what they have to do and then they suddenly arise at So arrive on time. You know, one time I was going for a meeting and you know, it was late. And when I got down from the car and I was walking a distance away from the church, I saw that other people were quickly walking. Then I saw somebody who came in from another side, got down, and he got out from the car, then he quickly was running. So when I saw him running ahead, I took to running with him. Why? Because I needed to respect the meeting. I needed to treat the meeting as though I had something to receive from there. Yeah, and I started running with him. So I ran into the service with him because I saw that that was wisdom. That's somebody who can see a meeting and places emphasis on the meeting. You know, when you are walking, you are just walking majestically. Meanwhile, you are late. You are late. You are walking majestically. You are trying to show God that God should wait for you to come in. So make sure that you arrive on time. Are you listening? Number two, learn to participate in the worship. Don't be a spectator. Whenever it's appropriate to lift up your hands, to clap, to give a shout, to give an approval of something, make sure you are in the service. Participate in the worship. Eh? Some of you, okay, I don't think there's anybody here. But sometimes you go to places and people are pressing their phones throughout the service. I mean, what reverence do you have for God? Do you have it at all? I'm not sure there's somebody here, but just in case. See them texting, typing during a service. Meanwhile, there is a way you know how you ought to behave in the house of God. No, participate in the worship. When they say, I corrected this the last time. Words in songs need to be followed with, right? Words in songs need to be followed with actions. So, we were singing the last time. I saw that I said, we lifted hands. We worship you. And you see that some people, hands are down. No, it needs to be followed with an action. We bow before you. And you see someone standing there, Rock of Gibraltar. We honor you. Honor, do you stand there like a rock trying to honor? Don't you bend down? Don't you bow? Don't you kneel? How thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church, the pillar and ground of truth. So that's learning to participate. When the man of God says rejoice, you're just giving a fake whoa. No, you're not behaving yourself rightly. There's a way you ought to behave yourself. When we say, I will praise. Praise is an action. Or I will shout. And you see that somebody's I will shout means that's the time to shout. Glory to God. How thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. So I will shout. The congregation must be taught to shout. Let me tell you something. If we can put this in our meetings, we will have greater moves and demonstrations of the Spirit as never seen before by just putting these things in place. Right? Say, we lift up hands, we lift up hands, we lift up hands. It's just all that. We lift up hands. The hands are down. The head is down. The head is down. Hands down. No, we lift up hands will mean you need to lift your hands there and then. Remember, is how thou oughtest. It is when we do this that our worship and our praise is worthy. I'm hoping someone is learning something. See, let us lift up our voices in prayer. Don't take that as a very, a general instruction. No, let us lift up our voices in prayer means amplify your voice. Let's do this now. When we say, come on, rejoice. This is what I'm saying. Rejoice, they are quiet. They don't even know, they are not even rejoicing. People rejoice. There's a verb that comes with rejoicing, and I've explained to you what they are. You shout, you run around, you jump, you have a song, you twirl around in reckless abandon. Yes, that's rejoice. Those are the actions that back that you are rejoicing. So participate in the worship. Don't be a spectator. Don't worry about your shoe, your dress. When we say, Lord, we prostrate, everybody should prostrate. Prostrate means you lie on the floor in adoration or to, what do you call it, esteem. You lie down. That's godly worship. Yeah? Yeah. So participate in the worship. The third one, receive every message or signal early enough. So you're going to visibly show interest and approval of all that is happening. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Do that. Don't get distracted. In a service, don't get distracted. Don't let somebody distract you in the service. Don't let someone talk to you while the service is going on. You say, brother, we need to talk about this after the service. Four, come to church with your Bible. It is important to open your Bibles, turn to it, as the preacher is preaching or as whatever it is taught you. Even if you know it already. But today we are looking at John 3:16. Oh, pastor, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen. No. Open it. Read it. Get to know what is happening. Right? Fifth one. Take notes throughout the sermon even if you know the subject already. Be a consistent note taker. So sit down, say, take notes, write, take notes. That's how to be a very good member during a service. So come to church with your Bible, take notes throughout the sermon. Even if you know it, you already, pastor has taught it 25 times. Oh, I know. Pastor is going to raise, say, Hebrews chapter 1. Oh, okay, you see, I told you. I told you, he has preached it before. I know Pastor Simon. We don't need to, it's all in our head. From Hebrews, you go to 1 Peter. I told you. No. Right? Yes, take notes. Say amen and give other encouraging remarks during the sermon when it's appropriate. Mm-hmm. Yes. When you say glory, mm-hmm. Amen. Glory means glory in return or in response. So glory to God. There's a response. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. You say, everybody say, amen. When it's like that, you get the word of God out from the pastor or from the vessel that's speaking to you, and it blesses you greatly. Seventh one. Don't yawn. Go to sleep or bow down your head during the sermon. See that someone has slept. Oh. They sleep and forget that they are even in the service. They sleep and have dreams and all of that. Someone's like, please discipline yourself. Don't yawn. When you yawn, do you know what it means? It means that what you are saying, it's very boring. It's very boring. We don't like what you are saying. We're not excited like that. Just how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of a living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Now, number eight, unless of course it's absolutely important, do not get up and leave the service during the sermon. Don't do that. Unless of course it's absolutely important, do not get up and leave the service. Don't leave the service. What are you going to do? I shared with you my experience some time ago. It wasn't too much of a good experience. I left church to go and do one or two, and I was almost in trouble. So since then, I like to stay in church till it's over, then I can leave. I don't want to share it with you. For those of you who have shared, I've already shared with you. I don't want it to be like a doctrine, so I will not share it with you. Yeah. So don't leave, be a master of leaving meetings. In fact, you miss out on many spiritual things that happen during meetings. I've had to minister at some places, and the person you're supposed to minister to, the person just gets up and goes. It's always very shocking. Yeah, the person just gets up and goes. Yeah. Do not have a know-it-all attitude on your face or expression on your face. Oh, I know this thing. Oh, I know this joke. It's not, hey, let me tell you something. When you become a pastor, you see how it is, eh? And as you go through the years, I'm trusting God for more grace. Yes, but it takes the grace of God to teach people and to have them consistently listening to you for even 10 years, even 5 years. Yeah. We consistently listen to you. Yeah. It's the grace of God. Because how many jokes do you have? And how many jokes do I have? How many, what do you call it, revelations do you have? Yes, we believe strongly that there are always greater depths and higher heights. But please, don't have that attitude of, I know this. Many times you don't even know. Many times you don't even know. That's the truth. Many times you don't know. But you are being deceived that you know. If you knew, you would have been producing the fruits that shows that you know. The fact that it's not producing means that you don't know it yet. So don't show that you're above all that is going on. I have a know-it-all expression. I know this one. I know that. I know it. I know the revelation. Yeah. See, let me tell you something. And it's something that I'm going to start doing as a teacher. I realize that I teach better when I'm on Podbean. Yes, it's true. I don't know about you, but that's for me. I feel like I teach better when I'm on Podbean. Yeah. So I was trying to ask the Lord, it's like, I teach better on Podbean. And the Lord says, you are afraid. Their faces are what is worrying you. I said, oh, I see. Your faces, eh? So your face can affect a teacher teaching you the word of God soundly. That's why I'm going to be removing people. I said, please, can you sit behind three rows for me? So I don't have to look into your face, because when I see that you're not impressed, you're not happy, you haven't know it all, I'll just say, oh, please. Please, can someone make space for him after the four rows? Or you can sit there and have it with it, so I can talk to the people who want to listen. Yes. In fact, a prophet had to be told by God that he does not have to be afraid of faces. See Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 8. God had to tell the whole Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, don't let anybody's face interfere with the ministry of the prophet I've called you to do. When you are ministering, don't listen to anybody. Don't watch anybody's face. Be not afraid of their faces. Your faces can tell a teacher to teach well or not. You see, when Benny Hinn came to Ghana, I went there with a couple of you. I'm not saying you should go there. I said, I went there with a couple of you. Let me say, I chose a number of people. I said, let's go here to honor. I'm not saying that you should go everywhere. Yeah. And he said, he has never preached the sermon. He has preached it a lot of times in other places. But that day, he has not preached it the way he preached it before. And it was one thing. The people were very receptive. When he talks, they are saying, amen. Can be preaching, someone's like, wow. Wow. Someone has stood up from their feet and they are writing, wow. So that was all. That's all it took to get them receive the ministry of a teacher at that point that he was flowing in. Yeah. I'm blessed. Glory to God. The response is there. Now someone is sitting in front of you. Yes, impress me. I was talking to someone and I said, you're not in the country. Join this church. She said, the teachings are so basic. I said, don't say that again. Don't say that again. Don't tell me that the teachings are too basic. Meanwhile, you're struggling with a prayer. Whatever. Don't say that. Don't talk like that. Don't say that the thing is basic. Don't say that. This basic thing is what has built many thousands of churches. Don't say that. Don't say it's basic. So don't say it's basic. Tell your friend. Don't say, oh, we just talk on basic. All I'm teaching you, if you didn't know it, it's not that basic. In fact, it takes a lot of wisdom to know what I'm teaching you. Yeah. It's not basic. Somebody, today they made us gather aside and we just spoke about how to. Do you know, if you knew it, wouldn't your life be much better? It means you don't know it yet. So we are all, myself inclusive, we all don't know it. We are all still learning. So don't say something is basic. If I knew all these things earlier, my life would have been better. So better in church services than now. So we all should just humble ourselves and learn it. Well, this is very basic teaching and it's very simple teaching. Oh, the teachings he has been having this week, they are very quite simple and they are simple, but you didn't know it. So let's just humble all of us. Let's humble myself, include everybody. Let's just humble and just learn. So don't say that what I'm teaching you is basic and you don't. He's wasting our time and we need to go. It's just church and how to call. If you knew it, you should have been something great. So we don't all know it. So let's just humble ourselves and learn. In fact, the church today has made a major diversion on the basic things that are very important to many other things that are not important. Preach the cross. You say, no, I'm going to preach hippie. Go and build more girl child education schools. Say, no, preach the gospel. Just preach the gospel. It's basic gospel, but preach it. Say, no. I want to share sanitary parts. Mine is not called to preach. Mine is called to share sanitary parts. Mine is called to share Vaultic to people by the roadside. Oh, as for us, our own is not preaching. Meanwhile, they said preach the gospel. It's as simple as just preach. Be a preacher of the gospel. Am I saying those things are not good? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying a Christian that doesn't know that what he has to do is to preach basically and to raise preachers. My mind is to do social work. God has not called you to social work. He has called you to be a preacher. Before a social work, if you want to do it. So the social work cannot become the primary. The social work is secondary. Let's have it secondary. So when we bring the secondary things to the primary spot, then there's a problem. So if you see me tell somebody that, please, can you take 3 seats behind? You should know that I don't like their face. I'm telling you in advance. Or you are yawning and sleeping. Say, go behind. You're not responding, you're not smiling, you're not doing anything, you're just there. Oh, I'm just there. Let him impress me. Please go behind. Look at what this simple thing is producing. Look at what this simple thing is producing. It's simple, but it's producing something. Yeah. All the people I met, they were not very giving people to God. They love God, but they didn't know what to do. Some of them were not even close to God. All of you. Some of you were still figuring, but simple thing is what has saved you. Yeah? That's what has saved you. So remain in those simple things. I thought I was the only one that does that. Until I heard Bishop Dax say that when I took him to the camp. He said he's been reading some Kenneth Hagin books since he was 16. And he still sees something new in those simple books still today. He says as he goes back, he's going to read it. And he was reading one before he came. I thought I was the only one. There are some books, I read them over and over and over again. I can show you some materials. They look simple, but if the simple things are working, why then do we try to complicate it? Let's just stick to it. If you pick my How to Be Led by the Holy Spirit, Kenneth Hagin, you see the writings and the markings. I've been reading it. How to Follow God's Plan for Your Life. That book, when I go to some place and I leave it, maybe I have one in Tamale, I leave it when I'm in Accra, I buy another one in Accra. Yeah, so when I get anywhere, I can buy it. I can buy it and I start rereading it. But you just read it once and you say you already know it. Yeah, there's some books here I can show you. If you have pictures, I can show you. I've read them over and over again. And many times when I read them again, something pops out of it and blesses my life. Yeah. So don't say it's basic. What I'm teaching you, don't say it's basic, it's small. God is helping you to be very ethical, knowing how to conduct yourself, how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is Church of a Living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. So I should see that improvement the next time. Yes. So listen to it. Take note of it. Do everything that you're supposed to have. Give nicely. Prepare an offering. Do all those things. They are all part of your worship. All part. Yes, they are all part. So God is going to help you. God is going to make us good, ethical people who know how they ought to behave themselves in the house of God, which is the Church of the Living God, the pillar and ground of truth. We thank you, Lord, for tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.